So who does she cite but Dick Wadhams? When Tom's on, we'll talk about what happened with and everything. I mean, everything that went on with the whole case with Dan Mays and what was taking place with Frieda Poundstone during all of that. And that was, I think there was outright theft that took place. But, and so Dick Wadhams, and I love the description, he's Karl Rove with hair. Dick Wadhams jumps in, and he's in the piece as well. Well, Dick Wadhams hates Tancredo, despises Tancredo. And what Tancredo did when he went rogue and went third party, he showed them, I think if they'd have thrown their weight behind him, if he'd have been their candidate, he might have had a hell of a chance against Hickenlooper. He had a puncher's chance against Hickenlooper, and he did well. But I tell you this much, Bob Beaupre will lose to John Hickenlooper. Write it down.
I think Hickenlooper is vulnerable if we get the right candidate, but I don't think Beaupre is that candidate.
Oh, but listen, but they share too much. Look, the Republican Party, the Chamber of Commerce Republican Party, they're for the illegals. I mean, these are the people. Look, they're not looking for change. I mean, and for the Republican, for Ross Kaminsky, who I love dearly, to say that that Tom will poison the party. This party got poisoned with Bill Owens. This party got poisoned with those guys. They poisoned the party. Listen, I got the man on the line. Thanks.
Thank you.
10 minutes after the hour. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, he gives me a radio show. Well, I don't know. What are you doing up so early? I mean, my God.
Well, you know, to be truthful with you, forces of nature got me.
I know those forces.
and so I'm walking by the phone, and I see Casey, you know, on the thing. And I thought, uh-oh. Well, my buddy Casey's calling. I better. Yeah. By the way, speaking of Casey's, where's Casey Kasem?
You know, you know what? My mentor was a guy named Bob Lee, and Tommy and
I. Sure, Bob Lee, I remember.
Beautiful Bob. And Bob and Casey Kasem were friends, and they grew up together, and they went to college together. And there was three or four of those guys in that group, and they were all in the business. John Lindsay used to be an anchor guy at Channel 7. And he knew when I worked with Bob, we would have Casey on the radio show by phone. And Bob, I didn't know him at all. I never met him, but Bob knew him. And he's his last name really is, he's like Kasem. He's Lebanese or Syrian or something, yeah. And he married this really, like I used to say, Jane Mansfield, Diana Doors-looking woman.
Yeah,
and Bob used to goof him on him because Casey's a little guy, you know. And we were talking about, you never saw Casey Kasem photographed standing up.
If he was an, I'm going to have to learn.
If he's no, you have to. You're a little guy, but he was always sitting down with people, you know. And then he had made some remark to Bob that laying down, everybody's the same size or something. It's a great line.
Well, I don't know. Is there some like hiding place for old disc jockeys that? You know, no, you spirit them away. So.
I don't know. I mean, no. I don't know.
I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Let me read you the email I've gotten this morning. You're not a wartime counselor. You're a damn lay-down whiner. This is aimed at me. Tom Tancredo's never going to win S with you telling him it's all over. Don't fight both ways. Beaupre has already won. Shut the F up, Pete, and go sit down. Tom.
Tom. I get those same... Yeah. I think that same person has my email address, too.
using the Lord's name in vain. Go find Tom, and then some other words.
Mm.
Signed, some other guy. I don't know why people are angry.
Well, that, you know, that's a good question. That's really, I've thought about that many times in this whole thing, because people do seem to get angry just because I'm running. I mean, as if I don't have, like, the right to run. I mean, certainly I could be beat, right? That's the whole idea of a race that you could lose. And so I'm putting myself out there. It could certainly happen. And if it does, it does.
Have you read Bartle's piece yet this morning?
No, I haven't ventured outside yet to get the paper. But okay. I pretty much know. I've been listening to you for about 15 or 20 minutes, so I kind of know.
Headline, despite GOP's fears, comma, Tancredo is soldiering on. Now, let me just begin the piece. I mean, I know that we've talked about what happened to you when the, quote, illegal aliens who built your house or something.
But oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that story. But now, you hear Lynn Bartles, who I love dearly, love Lynn.
I do, too.
Yeah, but she begins the piece with, Republican Judith Martinez can barely contain her ire when she talks about gubernatorial candidate Tom Tancredo in his position on illegal immigration. The Lakewood mother of seven. By the way, how did Bartles find Judith Martinez?
I don't know, but I talked to Lynn yesterday when she called me to get my response to some of these quotes, some of these things.
Right.
And I said to her, she told me about this lady and she wanted my response. And I said, well, why don't you just, instead of my response, why don't you just take the response of the Hispanics who support me?
Yeah.
You actually know one, because remember, I was walking out of an event. She took a picture of me and a guy, a Hispanic young man who wanted a picture with me. And I had turned around and I handed it to the camera and happened to be Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
And she took the picture and I walked out and she went up to this guy and she said, are you supporting Tancredo? And he goes, yeah. And she said, how come? And he said, well, because I'm a legal immigrant and all legal immigrants love him. I said, why don't you put that in there in response? She said, well, I did. It's in there. Well,
no,
she emails
not.
Me later on
no,
last night and said, I just wanted to tell you, they cut that part out.
Yeah, right.
And they put in quotes from you instead.
Winky, winky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was she didn't want me to think that she did it. Or she was lying to me about having put it in. She said her editor cut it out. But you got to say, why would, they could go to, they could go to vivatancredo.com and they could look at dozens and dozens of Hispanics who support me and they could have easily juxtaposed a Hispanic supporter against the lady who they got. But instead, they chose not to.
Tommy.
Now, I wonder why.
Yeah, you and I are way past the point to think that the poor reporter soldiers on herself. I don't buy it. I'm sorry, Lynn, you're my friend, but, you say that you wrote this extensive...
Well, I mean, I think the editor did cut it out. I think he did it on purpose, and I think
of course.
Because, as I say, that would be a perfect thing, right? And now a true journalist, if this editor was, would say, all right, here's a comment from this lady who, I've never met. I don't know how she shows up in this thing, but there are other Hispanics who feel differently. Now, wouldn't that be the part of the story that's relevant? And there are plenty of them. That's the thing. There are plenty of them.
Well,
it makes it sound like, every Hispanic in Colorado is opposed to me and will go with pitchforks and knives to the torches to the voting booth to stop me. But hey, they know that the whole issue of immigration and immigration reform, for me anyway, has nothing to do with race or ethnicity. It's got that's totally irrelevant. As I've said a million times, if Italy, my parents, my grandparents' country of origin, if it were on our southern border, if it had the same economic problems that Mexico has, we'd be seeing a stream of Italians coming across that border. It's got nothing to do with race. It's got everything to do with economics and geography.
Well, let me just come back to this story, because who does she go to for quotes? She goes to the guy that's known as Karl Rove with hair.
Dick Waddams. Karl Rove with hair.
Then she goes to... She goes to...
Oh, you are something.
She goes to KOA talk show host Ross Kaminsky, who has written a piece about how you'll be the poison pill.
Right. I was on his show. He had me on his show a couple of weeks ago,
and we
had this out on his show. So I understand where he's coming from.
I like Ross. I mean,
I do, too. Yeah. I do, too. I've liked him for a long time. He's a very smart guy.
Just a second. So these are the people. So she finds Judith Martinez. Winky, winky. And then Ross. And then somebody about Pope Benedict. And then this is the coup de grace, Dick Waddams, before he dicks you. And then we move on to ignoring the people that spoke up for you. And then we have a conclusion. And the conclusion is that you're fighting, a losing fight. Well, what I think is fascinating about this, and by the way, the showstopper is Mitt Romney is endorsing Bob Beaupre. Now, let me maybe retrench all the way back. Tom Tancredo is with me. Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS, 17 after the hour. Good morning, everyone. Now, let's you and I get into the Wayback Machine. When I was in Winter Park and we had Dean Singleton and I had my colleague Dan Kaplis was back in the studio, and the first time that Bob Beaupre's name came up, and I said, he's in the race. Oh, no, said Dean. I don't think so. He's a fellow rancher. Oh, no, said Catlett. I'm a good friend, and I'm like the little red hen. I'm going, no, he's in because of sure. I mean, you know he's in because he didn't want to make, you know, who will help me eat the bread? I will. And I'm saying, you guys, the guy's going like, I got no comment. I said, he's in. Now, he goes off to see the GOP governors, the Chamber of Commerce boys. Tommy, what happens when you go to see those guys?
Well, I heard, and I think you've never done told it. Me that it was, I don't know what happens.
That's
really.
Right, you have no idea.
I can only assume what happens when you go see those guys. But of course, Bob told me that they encouraged him, as I think is the way he put it. They encouraged him to run. They want him to run, and he, you know, what's he going to do? He got all these guys that are pushing him in this direction, and he's a good guy. I don't want to say anything bad about Bob. He's a good guy, and I told him at the time, look, because he was saying, you know, you get out of the race, I'll get in, and I said, Bob, I have 7,000 contributors. You know what, Peter? It's now over 10,000 individual contributors to my campaign. You know what the average is? $67. God love these people. I'll take their endorsement any day over Mitt Romney's. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I agree with you. But with Mitt comes...
And I said, I'm not going to... I can't... You can't expect me to get out of this race because White, we had coffee. I mean, don't be crazy. Just get in, I told him. Get in. But, you run. You might be the guy that knocks us all off the block and you make it, and God bless you. And if you can beat Hickenlooper, hey, I'm with you, buddy. But I don't think you can. I don't think any of these other guys...
I don't think you can either.
I mean, closer to Hickenlooper in the polls than any of them.
I agree.
And I have more independent supporters than they do. Now, Peter, if you want to win a race in Colorado, are you going to do it with a traditional Republican campaign, traditional Republican candidates, or are you going to do it with somebody that's going to try to bring independents and unaffiliates on board?
I mean, I think I can. I'm going back in the history. When you went rogue on them, which there's all these different parts of this, but I always feel like I'm watching Forrest Gump when his mother would say, run, Forrest, run, you know, and he has those goofy shoes on. I mean, you're Forrest Gump, and I know in my little black soul that John Hickenlooper will kick Bob Beaupre's can in a debate and in money and in everything else that comes his way. If these guys have learned nothing from the recalls, which, of course, they were against. This is where Ryan recall and all these different characters. Tommy, it was won on the street. It was won by street fighters in Colorado.
I remember.
You were there. I was there. And you know who was there? The gut fighters.
You abandoned me, though. You take off. I get into all these troubles and with some protester.
That's one of my great regrets is I get on a motorcycle. You take care, Tom. All right, Peter, I'll see you 20 minutes later.
I was just waving to you. I think I might have been just waving to you, and they caught me on a side shot or something.
Yeah, I mean, then you take a hike on me. But my point is, like, you were on the corner. I was on the corner. You know, you walked with petitions. I saw you do these things. I didn't see any jokers. And that's where this fight is going to be won. And you know what? The Coors brothers and Bruce Benson and the PAR elite and the Chamber of Commerce, that's not what they want. They don't want illegal immigration stopped. They don't want the kinds of things that you're talking about.
I actually think that there are some of these guys that would rather have a Democrat elected here.
Oh, then you.
I heard, and I'm, you know, I can't be, this is like third hand, but I'm told that... The Republican Governors Association said they would not support me. That's a lot of money, by the way. It's not just names. With the RGA, usually they will come in with money in races for governor, but they said they won't. I heard that they're actually looking for money, trying to raise money for a 527 to attack me during the primary.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm
now,
sure.
I mean, this is a Republican group.
No, of course.
Right? And you got to say to yourself, I have never heard of this in my life.
Right,
I've never heard that kind of thing happen.
I'm 3 minutes past my break. I'm going to come back, if you can stay.
Okay.
And let's talk about...
I'm
rolling. Let's talk about Freda Poundstone, Dan Mays, and Dick Wadhams, and before he dicks you, about what happened. And why would you go to Dick Wadhams? I said, this isn't talking to Noah about the flood. I mean, you're going to Dick Wadhams about Tancredo. I mean, geez, that's like asking those guys over to Clear Channel. So Hang on one second. Tom Tancredo is with us. And by the way, while you're at it, with us now, absolutely my true favorite, gubernatorial hopeful Tom Tancredo, the target for the Post again this morning. But he's been a I mean, like, you've been like the whipping boy for the Denver Post for almost as long as I've known you.
That's for sure.
So there's nothing new about this morning. But let's go back to Dan Mays, Dick Wadhams, Frieda Poundstone, and that crazy morning on Brand X.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And I think that was the time when you decided you were going to go third party. Talk about, and I love how Kaminsky says you would poison the GOP. The GOP has been poisoned long before Tom Tancredo.
Well, the people, I still get people who I'll be speaking and they'll say, well, you destroyed the Republican Party because of what you did last time when you split off. And I always say, look, I did not create Dan Mays. I had nothing to do with his development as the candidate for the Republican Party. That they did to themselves. And as a result, yeah, I absolutely wanted to provide some sort of alternative to that. I mean, I had met with the guy. I certainly became aware of what I consider to be fatal flaws, not just political flaws, where you say, well, he could never win, but other problems that I think we all became aware of later that would make it he should never win. So yeah. That was that. And of course, Dick Wadhams at the time that I did this, he and every other Republican vilified me for it. And your show, I'll never forget that. I'm sitting on my patio, we're talking, and he comes on, and I told him, you remember what it was? It was his description of both Dan Mays and Scott McGinnis.
Yeah.
To us, me, and I know he said the same thing to you, and I said, you know, I know what you've said about these people. Now, don't pretend all of a sudden they're the greatest thing since apple butter. And he's, I've never said a thing. And I said, you don't really want to go there. And that started it because, of course, you chimed in and said, well, yeah, you said those things.
He said them to me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he said that Mays was a joke. And so... Later then, by the very end, he's saying that Mays was the worst person ever put up for election by the Republican Party, and that any vote for him was a wasted vote. That was from Dick Wadhams, yeah, the chairman of the party. And then people are attacking me because of what happened in the Republican Party. The chairman and every other elected Republican official came out in support of me over time.
Sure.
Didn't happen at once. But they did it over time because they saw the same thing I saw and that you saw. And so now we are in, you know, I'm running as a Republican. I either win or lose. You know, this idea that somehow this is, subversive for me to run? Give me a break. I have as much, sure, I think, opportunity and chance of winning this race as anybody else. Why shouldn't I give it a shot? Maybe they're all right. Maybe I can't. Maybe it's all the stuff they say is true. Well, then, if they believe that, there's a way to handle that.
Sure.
You can just vote for somebody else.
And I always say that, you know, you can say what you want to say about the Seahawks and say what you want to say about the Broncos, but you got to play the game. You can say what you want to say about
this.
That's
exactly right.
You got to fight. You got to have the fight and find out. But back to the McGinnis story, and I remember you stepped aside. I remember I was at a dinner one night, and I was speaking there, and you were, your hat was going to be in the ring, and you said, "No, I'm stepping back for Scott McGinnis."
And right, then, I was first supporting Josh Penry. He got a little bit of problem, right,
yeah,
with a bad zipper, and so he's out.
Yeah.
Next thing, so I'm, you know, I said, okay, it's Scotty. And, you know, It wasn't my favorite.
Well,
it wasn't my first pick.
I understand.
But it was better, I thought, than the alternative. And then Scotty implodes. So there you are.
And then,
I said to both of them, if you will just get out of the race and let the party put somebody, because it was too late then, the primary, you know, was coming up. I said, just let the party appoint somebody, because this will be a disaster. Or I will get into this thing. And of course, they both chose to stay in, and so I got in.
And so then one of the all-time greats, Frieda Poundstone.
Oh, God love her.
God rest her soul. If you sent the central casting and said, send me a tough broad.
Boy, no kidding.
They'd send her.
That's right.
And
she was.
And Mays, you know,
he duped her.
Absolutely. It was a terrible story. And so she had contacted me, and I knew her from the day, and you know, and I used to have her on a radio show, and then I remember one morning, she was on a radio show talking about how he had clipped her, and he was driving down, and he starts screaming at the sheik, "Get her off! I demand her off your air!" And I'm going, as soon as somebody does that, you know, you're cutting close to the bone. You know, the truth is there. So then,
is that when he was going? I can't hear you.
You're breaking up, Pete. Yeah, he could hear me every morning, but that morning he couldn't hear me. And so then you called, and we went and had an early dinner, and you said, "I'm going to jump in with this Constitution Party." I said, "You're the man." So how many, I mean, where
I think it was the other way around. I think you called me and said, "Get into this race as a Constitution Party guy." And
I said, what? I'll take credit.
Okay, if you insist again. Oh,
okay, I'll take credit for that. But I know it's not true, but I'll still take credit for it. But and then we met.
You should be in my line of work.
Oh, man. And I told you. And so then you got into the race. And how many votes do you remember? I'm sure you do. How many votes you got as a third party candidate?
680,000.
I was going to say 675, 680. That's a big bite. And you almost set Mr. Wadham's party back, Mr. Kaminsky's party back. You almost put them back into third party status or minority.
Yeah, 1%.
Yeah.
They came in from 1% of ending up as third party status. And I think if we had not had early voting, where a lot of people went to the polls and just did the, you know, I'm a Republican thing, I don't even know who's running here, we would have come even a lot closer. Because the polls, I remember the night of the election, I think it was Rasmussen was on television and saying, "The upset of the night is going to be in Colorado with Tom Tancredo, because our polls show him dead even with Hickenlooper."
On a third party with $5 and $10 contributions, I thought you did outstanding. And so, and like I said, you and I are both fans of Kaminsky. I like Ross.
Oh, but I do too.
But for him to say that if you're on the ticket, you will poison the entire Republican ticket.
My God, look what they're doing. I mean, give me a break. You cannot watch television without having some commercial on attacking Cory Gardner on the abortion issue, and the same thing they did, of course, to Ken Buck. And this will burn in. If Cory doesn't do something, if he doesn't respond, this stuff burns in.
Sure.
And pretty soon, it's hard to crawl out of that. Now, I don't know that I'll ever have the money. I hope I have the money when they're doing it to me to try. But my point is, it's happening now. I'm not in the race. He's got nothing to do with me. They're going to beat the living tar out of him.
That's right.
And continue to do so on other issues.
Yep.
And then if he loses, and I swear to God, I hope he does not. I hope he is successful and victorious. But it will not have anything to do with me, is my point.
No, but what I'm saying to you is that this poison pill got swallowed by Bill Owens. It got swallowed long ago with the Republican Party. It got swallowed by Dan Mays. It got swallowed by, you know, Dick Wadhams put it on a spoon and put it in her mouth. And now, and I love Kaminsky, and I'm going to, you know, and he's just a good guy. But for him to say that, because he's a Beaupre guy, but he says that
Well, and also, the immigration issue. Ross is a strict, hard libertarian.
I know.
He's a great friend. He's an open borders guy.
I know he is.
And so,
I know he is.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, we clash over that. But I mean, I really, really, you know, he's just a good guy. And but he picks this line. And, of course, Bartles, who I think knows what she's writing. But I swear to God, going to Dick Wadhams for a quote on Tom Tancredo.
Yeah. Well,
jeez.
And, Pete, you know, I guess, and didn't I hear you say something about they pulled an old quote about the Pope?
Yeah. And I read you
an
email.
How long ago that was?
Well, I'm going to read you an email. And I said what I said. This woman sends me, "I listened to your program. I turned you off this morning. I know you're opposed to the Catholic Church." No, I'm not.
Opposed to the Catholic Church.
And I'm not reading it because she's aiming this at me. "And your bias is loud and clear. Our Holy Father, the Pope, visited the Americas because a large population of Hispanic believers. To us, he's like a father or papa. Many Hispanic Catholics are strong family morals and are conservative." Now, I've never said any of this. "I am Hispanic. My family's been here 400 years. I'm not an illegal. You say we vote 100% for Democrats." No, I said illegals would vote for Democrats. That's a lie. Many vote for conservative candidates. Mr. Boyles, get your facts straight. What I said was the Catholic Church is reloading. They want illegals here because they've lost membership in their church.
Well, if you'll remember, I mean, this was a long, I don't remember that exactly when it happened, but it was a long time ago. But I do remember the genesis of this argument I had with the Pope, and that was he was attacking the United States immigration policy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and
he had come out here. It wasn't. I didn't start the fight.
No.
He was saying, you know, it was immoral. Our immigration policy was immoral.
And the same thing.
I was responding to that. Okay. I didn't pull him out of. And you know, it's got nothing to do with. I mean, I was a Catholic, born a Catholic, raised a Catholic, and.
It isn't.
I have great respect, especially for this Pope. I think he's fantastic. But the reality is that when the Pope ventures into that arena, this, and I consider immigration policy to be political arena, then I think I have a right to respond to it.
Of course.
He was attacking us. He said the United States is immoral because of its immigration policy, and I responded.
Long story short, that turns up in this piece as well. So don't tell me that it wasn't a hack job.
Oh,
they knew what
gosh.
They were doing. Real quick, and I'm going to break off here. Do you want to come up to the machine gun shoot on Saturday?
Well, Pete, I think I'm...
You're booked?
I mean, if I can, we'll put it that way.
We'll talk more about it. But I
Grand Junction or something.
Well, you're on the road again? I'll give you a call, but I'd love to have you come up. But anyhow,
I would love to, too, man. That'd be great fun.
Machine guns. But anyhow.
Yeah, cool.
All right, pal.
That's on the 10th, right? No.
That's on the 17th.
That's on the 17th, yeah.
Well, yeah, I got some guys, and we're going to talk about it here in a minute. So hang on your hats, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. But
okay.
You're the man. Thanks, Tom.
Take care,
all right,
buddy.
Tom Tancredo. What I want